Okay, let us begin. We're up to Simon Peches, a new Simon, the laws of Muksa. The laws of Muksa. There are many svarim on the topic of Muksa. One of the.
What's the shorish of the word Muksa?
Set aside. Muksa means something that has been set aside not to be used. I'm not planning on using this on Shabbos. So Chazal came along and said, if it's set aside, you're not allowed to move it. Okay, there are a lot of halacha, a lot of things. As we go through, we'll come across some of the ideas, some of the yisodos. Let's just jump right into it. So the first page on the bottom, Peches, Muksa, Midas. Now he has a long list.
Yeah, what is
keep in mind the end of the list. Keep in mind that the end of the list is Kol Elu Mutarim. Okay, in order to make this paragraph make sense, go to the end of the next column, on column Kuf Ayin Tes, and look at the second to last line. Kol Elu Mutarin. Just keep that in mind. Every single thing in this list is Mutar. So here begins. Muksa Midas. Something that is Muksa Midas has been set aside willingly. You deliberately put something, you set something aside. The Hainu, what does this mean? Shehiktsuhu ha'adva midaito, a person set aside midaito mil'ochle b'Shabbos. You decided that you're not going to eat on Shabbos. Machmas she'ein eroy le'achila el ayidei atchak. You have made a decision that you're not going to eat this on Shabbos because it doesn't taste good. It does not. It's not fit for consumption. El ayidei atchak. But in the bottom of your mind, you realize that if you have nothing else to eat, you're going to eat it. So there are different types of muksa. Sometimes a person makes a conscious decision that he will never eat. He will not touch this thing, even if it's the only thing he has to eat. Even if it's the only thing left in the house. Under no condition will he put this in his mouth. That indeed we will learn in the next halacha is muksa. But here we have something which he's decided he's not going to eat because it's not fresh, or it doesn't taste good, or it's not healthy. But in the back of his mind, he says to himself that in the event that there's nothing else what to eat, I will eat it. So it's al yadchak. So what? Pecha is the ultimate litvak.
Or a gift
a litvak. Pecha is a litvak. Why is it a litvak?
Why?
It's cold.
Oh.
It shuckles.
Yeah.
And if you try to warm it up, it gets ruined.
Rav Kifter writes about that in his biography.
Yeah.
When he first went to Litta and they gave him a shot, he couldn't take it, but he got used to it. He developed. Rabbi Kifter, when he went to tell us from America, that's what they served in Lithuania on Shabbos.
Pecha.
The reason they eat pecha by Chassidim is because the same reason they wear shtreimel. They take the lowest part of the animal, the foot. And the malvet the kedusha.
Really?
And that's this. One sheet is saying that there was a gzera to wear tails of tumid animals, so they made it into a holy thing.
That's where it comes from, a strimal?
Yeah,
they take the tail of the animal, take the part that's tummy.
Right.
So we made out of it a hahat. But you're saying that it's because you wouldn't mala the medusha, even the. And that's where a strimal comes from, take the tails of an animal to be mala medusha? The zanaf. Very interesting. And that's what Psha is, to take the psalas of the animal, the schmutz of the animal, and make it into a food.
Maybe Kishka is the same thing,
Rabbi.
What's Kishka?
Kishka
is the intestine.
Is the interesting idea, very interesting. A Hasidish twist.
Rabbi Levine, Goyim have an equivalent of Pacha. They call it frozen pig knuckles.
Oh my God.
Pig knuckles.
Yeah. The knuckles of the pig.
Muksa midas. Let's begin again. Muksa midas. The Hainu shehik shiktsu shehik tsehu ha'ada midaito milachlo b'shabbes machma sheinu roi lachilu ela adiat chak. Oi, sheroi lachilu afil b'loit chak. Or it's roi b'tchilu ela shehik tsahu l'schera. I don't want to eat this because I want to sell it. It's merchandise. But I do know that in the back of my mind, in the event that I have nothing else, I'm going to go to the store and take it out and eat it for myself. Even though you put it away in storage, something which is fit for consumption today for dogs, animals, it's fit for animal food. Even though yesterday was not fit, going for example, behemas, Shenisnablu b'Shabbos. When Shabbos began, the animal was alive. When the animal is alive, it's not fit for animals, it's fit for human beings, because you would shech the animal. When you shech it, you eat it for yourself. But now that the animal died on Shabbos, it's a nevela. So it's no longer fit for human consumption, it's fit for animal consumption. V'chein dover shenishtane hayom ima shohoyes. Well, something that changed from what was from yesterday to today. Avol mikomokom gam hayom adan roi le'ezet hashmish. But when Shabbos began, but even though it's not the same as it was yesterday, but today it's fit for something else. For example, yesterday you had a utensil; it was complete, so it was fit for storing for liquids. And now shenishru hayom, it broke today. V'adayin ruin l'shtamish bohen me'ein tashmish narishayin l'kabel bohen eiza machal emashka. So I can't use it for the same thing I would use it originally. Originally, when it was complete, I can use it for one type of item. Now that it broke, I have to use it. I use it as something else. The chain also at some shenisparku hayom in abasar, bones that separated from meat. Yesterday the bones were connected to the meat, was connected to the bones, so the bones were tuffled to the meat. But today the bones and the meat separated. The hain uim leklavman, the bones that are fit for dogs. So the common denominator in all of these examples are that right now they're partially set aside. When Shabbos began, they were partially set aside from what you want to use it for now, but they were not completely set aside. When Shabbos began, the animal was fit for human, it was set aside for people. Now the animal died, so it's fit for animals. But when Shabbos began, I had kavana that one day I may eat this. We'll see more examples soon, better examples, but the basic idea is call in all these examples mutar mutatl b'Shabbos. All of these things, since they do have some function, since they do, there is some use, is mutar b'Shabbos. Chutz mimash docha b'yadayim kegoyin gregoy svit simugin. The only thing that is 100% muksa, something that was completely set aside not to be used on Shabbos at all, like dried figs and raisins. Now there are two reasons why dried figs and raisins are completely set aside. Number one, dried figs, when they're drying out, are not fit for consumption. When a fig is fresh, it's fit for consumption. When it's totally dried, completely dried 100%, once again, it's fit for consumption. But when it's in the middle, in between it being fresh and it being 100% dried out, it smells and soggy and is not fit for human consumption. The same thing is true with regard to raisins. When they're fresh, grapes are fresh, they're fit for consumption. When they begin to dry out and they're soggy, they're not fit for consumption. Only when they completely dry out and turn into raisins are they fit. So they're in a state now where they're not fit for consumption. That's number one. Number two, when you took these raisins and these figs and you put them on the roof, your kavanah was, I'm not going to see you, I'm not going to look at you for the next 6 weeks. I'm not going to have nothing to do with these things. They're out. They're off radar. They're not in my mind. So there are two reasons why gregos v'tzimukim are the perfect prototype, the paradigm of muksa. Number one, you maktsia biyodayim, you pick them up and you deliberately put them aside for a period of time. It wasn't something which just happened by accident. And number two, during this period of time, they are not fit for consumption because they're in the process of being dried out. Any object that you have in your home which fits this category of gregos v'tzimukim, where you've done a maisa to set them aside for a prolonged period of time, and the matzav that they're in currently now is one where they're not fit for use, that is perfect model of muksa. But something that is in between, in other words, I didn't put it aside, I typically don't use it, but it's here, it's on the table, it's in the closet. It's in the closet. I typically do not eat this type of food. I don't like it, it's not healthy. Most people that I know don't use it, but it's in my closet. I never... What? Oh, so we're going to have... Frozen food is not most, because you can defrost it. And you can defrost it. Since you can defrost it, child of Noila, different types of defrost. Okay, we'll come across some examples that we go through later on. We'll see some examples. But something which is not 100% put aside is not considered muksa, and you're allowed to be nener from it on Shabbos, and all the examples they gave over here are fit into that category. Food that's in the store. If you own a shop, you live upstairs, and downstairs is a store. So this food that's in the store is meant to be sold. I don't mean to eat this food. I want to sell and make a parnasa. Now it's Shabbos. You have nothing what to eat. So you know what? I'll go to the store. I'll take something out of off the counter, something from the shelf, and I'll take it up to my apartment and I'll eat it. Oh, why don't we say it's muksa? I never deliberately took that item and set it aside. And also, when it's on the shelf, it's fit for consumption. So food in your store is not 100% set aside. It's partially set aside. Partial is not enough, and it's not considered to be muksa. Okay, we'll see more examples. We come. Let's see over here the Hagdama from the Sha'arim, Mitzuyan Mehalacha. He lays out many yisaidis. Number one, Sheik Tzol Ha'adam Yidaiti. Ayin Beit Seisef. Rabbi Megadim. On the Mishnah Berurah, the Chashu Shisha Chalakim B'Muksa Elohein, was this very important Yisoides. There are six different categories of Muksa. Aleph, number one, Muksa Machmas Chisaron Kis, something which is valuable. The Hainu Kli Sha'oda Makbid Alav Shalo Shal Yifkaim V'lo Yiskakel. The utensil person is Makbid, it should not get damaged. It's very delicate. B'ze Ein Shum Takon L'Talatel B'Shabbos Afil L'Tzerch Gufayu Mekomo. Something that you don't want to touch, you have something very expensive, you have an antique. You have an antique vase, and you don't use. You wouldn't dare fill up this vase. This is an heirloom. What? Something which is very, you would not use it. It's very valuable. It's very valuable. You're not going to use it, so it's put away in storage. And now you're desperate. So you see, you know what? Even though it costs $10,000, I've chush with people coming over. My mechutanim are coming over. I'm going to take it out, and we're going to actually use. We're going to fill up with water. No, this is called muksa. Since when Shabbos began, you had no idea that you may need it on Shabbos, so you set it aside. It's muksa machmas chesaron kis. Even if now on Shabbos you decide you want to use it for a permissible use, it doesn't matter, since when Shabbos began, it was muksa, machmas, chesaron, kis. That status remains with it for the duration of Shabbos. Sha'ad, one more time, Sha'ad, makbid, alav, shalo, yifkan, velo, yiskalkal, but ze, ein, shum, takana, letaltal, b'shabbos, afilu, letzorech, gufoy, umokam. I want to use this container to serve food. I need its place. It's taking up space on the table. I need to move it to the side. Ayin b'tais v'shabbos. The dafka imhu kli shemalachta le'iser. He says that it's only true. What I told you is not 100% true. It's a machlokes. He says when a kli shem that's muksa machmas chesaron kis, it has to be in the category of a kli shemalachta le'iser, like it's a hammer. It's a very expensive hammer. Sakinch or sakin shel shchita v'shel mila v'shel seifrim, a certain type of knife that's used by sheikhtim, moilim, or scribes. Av a kli shemalachta le'iser. Ein hachasarin kis mazik klal kevin shiyochel l'shtamish bavu kumavuchos. What I told you was not correct. Now I'm essentially not correct. It's machlokes apayiskim. He quoting over the Taisus. We'll see that we have to go through it. A lot of different opinions in every single part of muksa. There are many different opinions. But here he makes it very clear that a kli that's muksa machmas chesaron kis is mutter if you want to use letzaruch gufay umakaymai. The only time a kli machmas chesaron kis is osra afil letzaruch umakaymai is a kli shemalach d'aliyasa. So let's take another example, a better example. A hammer. I have in my possession a hammer from 1,000 years ago, and it's worth $100,000. It's a museum piece. Worth $100,000. And today is Shabbos, and I have nuts. I have some nuts on the table, and I want to take the hammer to crack the nuts. If this would have been a hammer that I bought from my local hardware store for $10, then I would be allowed in the chatril to take the hammer and pick up the hammer and crack the nuts. It's a kli shemalach d'aliyasa. It's normally used for boina to bang nails. It's a malacha d'oraisa, a boina, a kli shemalach d'aliyasa. But a kli shemalach d'aliyasa is mutter. Let's say, if I want to use it for a permissible purpose. What's the permissible purpose? To crack open nuts. But if I want to go use a hammer that was worth $100,000 because it's an antique and it's lying in my closet, so when Shabbos began it was kli shemalach d'aliyasa, that was also muksa machmas chesaron kis, and I want to use it with tzarech gufay, or it's in my way, I want to set up a table setting and where it's located with tzarech mekomo, it is also letaltel. However, according to the Tais for Shabbos, the example that I gave before, if it's a kli shemalach d'aliyasa, if it's it's a vase, and I want to use a $100,000 vase for water, to serve water to my guest, even though when Shabbos began it was Muksamach Maschusar and Kiss, being that I want to use Litzach Gufay or Litzach Makamay, it is Mutter. Okay, that's category number one. Category number two, base. Kli Shavalach Deli Yisr. The Kli is used for Yisr, for example, a hammer. Or the example I gave before, a knife that's used, or a special knife that's used for shechita, or a special knife that's used for milah, or a special knife that's used by sefer. Those are not really good examples, because those typically are also, in addition to being kli shemach to lisa, they're also typically muksamach mas chesar and kiss. But here I have my possession a standard hammer. Also, the tatla filu shelo yishaver or shelo yignoif. Let's say you don't want to leave it on the table because you're afraid it's going to be stolen, or you're afraid that it's going to break. It's going to break, it's going to rain. You're leaving it's outdoor, it's outside on the patio, and if it's going to rain, and when it rains, it's going to get ruined in the rain. So I want to take it indoors. It should not get stolen, not get ruined by the weather. It is usur. Avo, but what can you move it for? But I can take a hammer if I want to use it to break open nuts, or I need the place where it's located because I want to set up a table setting. This is a very important Gadim. Even if the malach is only malach, and you don't typically use this hammer to do malach deraisa, you only use this hammer, this type of utensil to do malach midrabanan. It doesn't make a difference. It's still included in the full-fledged laws of kli shemalach to liyaser. That's mutl tzerch kufa yumakoymai, but it's not mutl tatal nechama litzel, which is what it means over here to prevent from being stolen or being ruined by the hot sun. Category number three, muksa machmas gufay. And what does that mean? Hainu davar she'enai kli v'loy machal. It's not a utensil. It's not a food. Adam v'loy machal behema k'loy avonim kanim mos eitzim ofar chol. All the mace balechai megregos v'tzimukim. Many different examples. All the stones in Yerushalayim are muksa machmas gufa. You're not allowed to pick up a stone and throw it at a car on Shabbos because the stone is muksa machmas gufay. Anytime you see someone throwing a stone at a car on Shabbos, it's mamish
Shabbos at him.
He Shabbos at him. It's muksa machmas gufay. So they sit there when we designate them before Shabbos begins. All the stones of Yerushalayim have been designated. Okay, konim are reeds. Money is muksa machmas gufay. People don't know. People think that money is muksa machmas iser, and in Eilu you're allowed to move it around. Litzayoch gufay umukamim. That's not so. Money is muksa machmas atzmai machmas gufay.
Something that was muktzah.
Yeah. And he used it?
Could someone else now use it because...
Absolutely not.
Still stays
muktzah, 100%. Absolutely not. Akanim most money, eats in pieces of wood, offer earth, chol, sand, mace, a dead body, is muktzah machmas atzmai. Balei chayim, animals. Now this, he's going to have a discussion on the next page. Animals. Animals is not so simple. Some place can hold that animals are called kalim. They're no worse than kalim, and you are allowed to be metallic. People have pets. You have a pet parakeet, a pet hamster, a pet cat, a dog. The Arpais can, believe it or not, is going to present that walking is not a problem. Walking is you're not being metal, you're not touching. Walking, you're just guarding. You're guarding with a leash. You're guarding. That's not called carrying. That is not called being metal muksa, guarding a dog by a leash. There are other problems with a dog on Shabbos. You may come with the problem with the leash itself if you don't carry the leash in the right way. But you're not being metal muksa directly by walking a dog on Shabbos. But let's say in the house. You're in the house and you want to pick up your dog. The dog doesn't want to budge. You want to pick up the dog. Or you have a cat. Or you have a hamster. Or you have a bird. The bird escaped from the cage. Okay, this happens all the time. No, the bird escaped from the cage and it's now flying around. You want to go capture the bird and put the bird back in the cage. There's a shot of tzeda. He had a much bigger problem with tzeda. What about a problem of touching the bird? So he's going to discuss the sunnis machlekes ha'poiskim if animals are called muksa or not. Here he's telling you, he's taking the hard line that they are muksa, balechayim, agregos vitzimukim, and pressed figs and raisins, shemunachim b'makam shemispashlim liyotzebo, and it's put in a place where they are, they're put on the roof, where they are drying out. Liyotzebo, zen, all of these similar examples, also letalt mafilu letzarech guvim kama, even if I want to use the money for a paperweight, I want to use a stone as a paperweight, or the stone is in my way, I want to set up a table setting where the stone is located, it's not an excuse, you're not allowed to move mutzmach maskufai. There are exceptions. There are 13 exceptions to the rules of muksa machmas kufai, which will come to later on. Halacha dalid, category dalid, kli shemalachta leheter, a utensil that is used for permissible purposes. But it's a basis. I have a tray, and on top of the tray there is a candle being lit. There's a candle. A candle is muksa machmas iser, fire. And it's on top of a tray. So the tray is a kli shemalachta leheter, but it's now serving as a foundation for a muksa. Even if the muksa was removed when Shabbos, after Shabbos began, it doesn't make a difference. This is a very important yisun of muksa. All the rules of muksa kick in erev Shabbos, bein hashmoshes. Kevin shahoyel bein hashmoshes, migu diskatzul bein hashmoshes, diskatzul kol yuma, since it was muksa bein hashmoshes, it's muksa for the entire day. V'hu anikra bosses ledavar ha'aser. Category 5. Davar shah bein hashmoshes, mechubar mechubar, if it was attached to the ground, or mechusar tzeda, or it was free, it was not yet trapped. The afilu machmas is sir derabban. Even the only reason why you couldn't trap was in the time of tzeda that's midrabbanan. Doesn't afilu sir achakach is sir mimenu. It was detached from the ground. Is menu is katsoil kuliyama. This is called noilad. This is an example of noilad. Since a new state came into being on Shabbos, it remains in its prior state the way it was before Shabbos. Migudis katzelu Shabbos is katzelu kul yoma. Vav, category vav, muksa machmas mitzvah. What is that? Going for example, atse sukkah un vinoya v'esrog. Something that is set aside for sukkah and the decorations and the esrog is shayach b'chol shmonis mechag v'lo lisa Shabbos. This applies for all the days of sukkahs and not only for the iser of Shabbos. If something is set aside, muksa machmas mitzvah. You're not allowed to eat it. That's right. Muksa machmas mitzvah.
Let's talk about eating. You're not allowed to move it.
Also, here the muksa means something else. Here the muksa means for tashmish, for use. So you've touched upon something very interesting. What? You're not allowed to use... There are two different types of muksa. Let me take a step back. In the Hagdama to Rabbi Simcha Bunim's Kone on muksa, we mentioned before, there are many svarim. It's a very popular topic in halacha, the topic of muksa. There are many svarim. One of the excellent svarim available is the laws of muksa, a practical guide by Rabbi Simcha Bunim Kone. He is the one who wrote all the series, the Shabbos series of Art Scroll. I think there is a total of 7 volumes in the series. One of the volumes is the laws of muksa, a practical guide. He has a very beautiful hagdama in the Hebrew footnotes, and he explains that the first question is the isa muksa de oraisa or is the isa muksa de rabbanan. We have conflicting memory chazal. On the one hand, we know from chazal that Nehemiah ben Hakilai, instead of Nehemiah, was the one that instituted muksa. When they went to rebuild the Bayis Sheni, he took note that there was massive Chil Shabbos. And in order to be Mechazik Shabbos, he instituted the laws of muksa. And the original laws of muksa were extremely chomer. You were not allowed to be metalpal anything. There are only 3 things you can be metalpal. Basically, things that you need for food. Basically, food utensils. That's what was mutter. Everything else was asr. And then, over time, when people became more observant, and Shabbos was no longer under threat, he relaxed, Chazal relaxed the issur of muksa, and brought it down to what we have today, where you are allowed to carry many things on Shabbos. So from that, Maimon Chazal, it's very clear that the din of muksa are purely a din de rabbanan. The problem is, we know that Shlomo HaMelech already practiced muksa when David died. When David died, Chazal, the Gemara's Shabbos, Shabbos says they sent a message to the Beis Medrash, David has died, he is lying in the sun, his body is decaying, am I allowed to be metalkal my father's body? So they send a message, they keep our vitinah. So we see that way, way before the time of, about 500 years before the time of Nehemiah, already there was how the laws of Muksa were in effect. And in fact, Chazal, I don't remember if it's a Gemara or other Midrashim, the Chazal Darshan, V'hichinu Eis Asher Yaviyu, the Pasuk was said simply in reference to the Mon. The Mon must be prepared Erev Shabbos. But Chazal also Darshan V'hichinu, that in order for something to be, something can be moved on Shabbos, it must be prepared. It must be set aside for use, which means that if it's not set aside for use, it's automatically Muksa and it's Asher on Shabbos. So Rabbi Simcha Bunim Kohn asked the question, how do we reconcile this contradiction? Chazal is Muksa Deraisa, Muksa Derabanan. I don't remember who he says Shem. The answer is, an amazing aside, there are two different types of Muksa. There is Hishtamshus, to use it, and then there is simple tiltal, moving it. Well, touching is not really a problem. It's moving it. Touching L'chor is Mutter. You're allowed to touch Muksa, but you're not allowed to move it. And then there is taking it and using it. And he explains that accordingly, I think he's medayik this in the Rambam, that the Isser Derais is to use it. If you have a hammer is Muksa Machmas Isser. I want it to use the hammer for a non, well, that's not a really good example. Let's say Muksa Machmas Atzmo, a stone. A stone is Muksa Machmas Atzmo. I want to take the stone and use it. I want to use the stone as a paperweight. I want to use the stone as a chair, as a stool. I want to use, I'm going to take it, and I'm going to use it. That is an Isser D'Oraisa. You're taking an object that's Muksa, and you're being Mishtamesh with it. That goes back from the time of the Torah, V'Heichinu Eis Asher Yaviyu. Along came Nehemiah. Not only are you not allowed to use it, you're not allowed to even move it. That's the Isser Derabanan. It's an amazing insight to answer the difference between the Deraisa and the Derabanan. Hishtamshus versus Tiltal. Very big difference. So here, he's mentioning over here, Muksa, we're dealing over here with an Esrog. What's the Isser Esrog? Hishtamshus, not Tiltal. Everyone knows that you're allowed to go and you're allowed to move an Esrog on Yomtiv. Otherwise, you cannot be Yaitz of the Mitzvah of Esrog. But you're not allowed to do the Muksa, the Deraisa type of Muksa, and be mishtamesh with the Esrog during the 7 days of the festival. What's the shtamshus? To eat it. To eat the Esrog.
Smell it?
No, smelling you're allowed, it seems. The person can say you're allowed to smell. No?
You shouldn't smell it.
You shouldn't smell it, what it says? Really? So maybe that's part of it, then I don't remember.
We had a whole thing, I think you go to Ashkenazi, had a different shita, Gabriel Brochus.
The order of the I don't remember right, but it's shtamshus, that's the point you make of the goals, without saying that during the Noi Sukkah on Chol HaMoed, we're not allowed to go and touch the Noi Sukkah on Chol HaMoed. On Yom Tov, of course you can touch the Noi Sukkah on Chol HaMoed, even on Yom Tov also. What's so terrible touching the Noi Sukkah? The prohibition that Chazal discussed, the Noi Sukkah Muksa, means it's shtamshus. You can't go take down, if you have a jar of honey that's hanging in the Sukkah that's been set aside to be the Noi Sukkah, you're not allowed to partake, because it's Muksa for the mitzvah of Noi Sukkah. When Sukkah is over, then once again you can use it. But now it's the Hishtamshus versus the Tiltal Muksa. It's a very important Yisoid. It's a very beautiful Yisoid, this difference, the two different types of Muksa. Okay, now we go to the last paragraph. The last paragraph is Ein Rambam Hatam Sha'ashu Muksa Kadesh Shalo Yehei. He goes through the reason. We already discussed a little last week, the Hakdama, the four reasons why you're not allowed to be Metaltal Muksa. So the Rambam, it really comes from the Rambam. The Rambam quotes three of the four. The Rambam quotes three, and the Ravid is very disturbed why the Rambam left out the fourth. Well, let's see what he says over here. A person should not be busy the entire day moving things around from one part of his house to the part of his house. He should rest on Shabbos. The reason why Muksa is, there's an Isra Muksa, is because of Motzei Chefsecha V'daber Davar. Shabbos is a day of a prohibition. You don't busy yourself with mundane activities of moving your property around, your items around from place to place. That's all he quotes. But there's another reason. The Rambam really quotes two more reasons. What's the second reason? If you pick up a hammer, you may come to bang in a nail. The third reason, there are people in the community that don't have parnasa. They don't do malacha the entire week. If there was no prohibition of muksa, there wouldn't be any difference between Shabbos and chol. In order, there should be some difference, even in your home, besides that maybe, I guess you go to shul, maybe not even went to shul those days, but there should be some significant difference in the way you conduct yourself between Shabbos and chol, chazal u'masake and muksa, especially for the people that do not work. The Ravid is very disturbed. The Rambam left out the main reason. The Ravid sham kos v'atam shul geder lechoitza. The primary reason why Chazal did not allow you to mutalatal things that you don't need is because you may come to carry on Shabbos. She'im nati l'talatal kodav yovi aydei zeh l'hoitzi meir shayach l'rishasaram. You may come to mutalatal l'rishasaram shuram. So it's a very question, why didn't the Rambam bring down this reason? Because from Chazal, I don't have all the sources in front of me, but it's from I saw this Nagdama, Rabbi Bunim Sefer, Rabbi Simel Bunim Kohn, and he brings down this whole shmuz of why indeed the Rambam leave out the incident of Hoitzah. He explains the truth is that's the ikar. If you look in the early sources, the reason why Nehemiah was masakein hoitzah, mitmuksa, was because of hoitzah. People were not nizer in carrying on Shabbos. That was the main reason. But this is what he explains. But however, that was lifted because it came a point in time where the Jewish people during the time of the Bayis Sheni were fully observant in the laws of hoitzah. It worked. The takana, not to touch anything on Shabbos, worked. People began to learn that you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. So then Chazal took a step back and allowed people, they lifted the restrictions of muksa. So if the only reason why, this is where he explains, the Rambam, this is how he explains Shan the Rambam, if the only reason why Chazal were masakein muksa is because of Haitzah, now when people became observant in the laws of Haitzah, Chazal, there will be no muksa at all. Zero. It will be 100% mutter, no other. But because there are other reasons, what are the other reasons of there should be a difference between what you do during the week with people who work and people who don't work, and because you make a malacha, and because you make chavscha. So this is what the Rambam gives as additional reasons why Chazal still kept some semblance, some degree of muksa, even after they lifted the major prohibition of muksa. Okay, so these are the basic four reasons for Haitzah. Again, it's Kedai. One thing is to come away from the Halacha. You should remember these four reasons. You shouldn't do Malacha. There should be a difference in the activities for a person that does not work during the week. And the Ravid, Haitzah. Okay, Halacha. Days. Halacha Beis, Dvarim She'enem Ruim L'Klal L'Achilas Adam K'mo She'hein. Let's now discuss a new category. Things are not fit for human consumption at all. Afilu al yidei hadchak, even al yidei hadchak, because shetzrichim bishul, because they must be cooked. Raw potato. Can you eat a raw potato? Can you eat a raw potato? So raw potato is mamish muksa. It's muksa machmas atzma. V'yaf al gav shiruim lebehemos or leklavim. Even if this type of food is fit for dogs or for animals, karekevon shehem muchanim l'machol. Since the potatoes are set aside for people, do animals eat potatoes? They don't eat potatoes. What? Who eats potatoes? What kind of animals? What? Pigs? Okay, but let's say you don't have any pigs and you don't have pigs at home. Since they're set aside for people, liachar zman. It's not set aside for animals, and these things are 100% muksa. The chayin devot. What? Carrots.
100 years ago, that's the case of carrots.
Well, that changed. They didn't eat raw carrots. Right. That's all Shiloh. Raw carrots. Raw carrots. Say it became a new fad to eat raw carrots. But they didn't eat. What?
It's been a long time.
You eat carrots, but it used to be right. So this was something which was not meant. Even though animals eat carrots, it doesn't make a difference. It's muksa. The chayin devarim sheinim ruim l'shamplo shum tashmesh. Who ever example eats in the noites? Piece of wood. The noites are shalayfais and feathers of birds. The oros behemos and animal and skins of animals. The semer shal pishim and semer wool the pishim l'mchol b'chol b'alechayim. Also here he writes animals. The kids are shulchan aruch without any apology says that animals are muksa. You're not allowed to touch a bird. You're not allowed to touch a pet. It's muksa. Afilu hein shaloi besoch beso, they are muksa. The shells of nuts, the klipe baits of eggs, the atzamos and bones. Hakoshes she'enan ruim afil leklavim udolosos and doors vechalonos and windows habayis, things which are have been detached from the wall, a door or a window that's been detached from the wall and it cannot be reinserted on Shabbos. Now doing melacha deraisa v'chein shivei kelim she'enan ruim oid l'shum tashmish kol elu v'hadem lochem asu metilt, all these things are asu metiltul mikum kol makom kli zechuchis. Here he already begins to discuss them with the heterim, which we'll get to later on. Something which is dangerous if there are small pieces of glass lying around, even though these things are 100% muksa. There's no function for these things whatsoever. Yet, since they pose a sakana, someone may be hurt. You are allowed to sweep them up. Aval mikol makom klei zchuches shenishtabru b'makom sheichom lahazik mutu lifnois Hashem. You're allowed to move the shvarim. What's another example? Snow. Snow is muksa. You're not allowed to make a snowball. You're not allowed to touch snow on Shabbos. It's muksa. There's no purpose to snow. However, if the snow is a sakana, someone will slip in the snow. You are allowed to shovel the snow. You have to be careful how it's done. It shouldn't be machik. Shouldn't be. There are different halachas, but generally snow would be muksa. But because of sakana, it can be removed in a permissible way. Okay, let's take a look at the bottom of here to discuss the halach of pets, bays, v'chol balichaim. Yeah.
You say it goes, and I mean nuts.
Nutshells. Yes. Yes.
So if somebody's eating nuts, he has shells on the table.
So we're going to learn later on. Graf shell array, it's disgusting. So you're allowed to clear the table. In Echnam, you're not allowed to for no reason whatsoever. The shells on the table become muksa. After you separate the shell from the nut, the shell on the table is muksa. And you're not allowed to play with it.
Oh, but you're allowed to clean it up?
But to clean it off to the garbage, you can. But some people are sitting by a shell and zachar, and they're playing with the shell nuts. That's not right. Once you separate the nut from the shell nut has no function whatsoever. It's like a piece of wood. It's a piece of stone. It's muksa. So what are you touching it for? To clean your teeth? Not so similar to clean your teeth on Shabbos either with it. So in Echanam, you go to Shalom Zachar, and after you break the nuts open, you're not allowed to touch the shells. But the only thing you can do is you can clean it off the table because of graf shell ray, which will come soon and later. Halachas. Halacha bay is on the bottom. He discussed here the different opinions with regard to pets. B'chob alechayim, ayin b'nezer yishol, b'shem mehagoy meharav chay, I'm not sure what that is, or Zerua. I'm not sure what that stands for. The oifos hametzavsefim b'kol noeh, the kalboin, birds that chirp in a beautiful sound in their enclosure. Kevon shebenei adam nenin b'kolam, people enjoy their sound. Laf muksim heim, pets, pet birds are not muksa. Unbelievable. Avayin b'shut hilo halachas katanos shenishal imut l'tatal behema chayiv yoif b'latinuk b'shul sakik bo b'shabes. A pet, you buy a pet hamster for a child, are you allowed to be metalta? Are you allowed to give it to him? He's allowed to touch it on Shabbos. The heshiv, the medivri ataisus near the karule l'shar l'kli. The kol sh'oisin from taisus appears that an axe is called a utensil. The kol sh'oisin bo ezedavar umiyuchel l'kach kli mikri, anything that serves a function and has a purpose is called a kli. Baha dimidadin asam vloy magbim mishum the lav litzerch gufay mukomahu, ella litzerch atzmai, and baha dimidadin asam, this is how we prod them, vloy magbim, we don't pick them up, mishum the lav litzerch gufay mukomahu, ella litzerch atzmai shall iser, okay, I'm not sure he's saying it. Seems like at first he goes on this.
He's just doing it because he wants to move it, but it's not because.
So that's why it's usser. Right. We're only medadin. Medadin is we prod it. We don't mamish pick it up. So he says, Ikaradin, what he seems to be saying though is that when it comes to a pet, the point is when it comes to a pet, it will be mutter. When it comes to a full size shar, a full size axe, and a shar, then there's no purpose. It's not litzerch gufanu litzerch mekayman, so then you can just push it around. But when it comes to a small pet, a turtle, a hamster, whatever, a bird, all these little things that you can buy, these pets. So he seems to be saying it's a kli. It serves a function. It's the tzach kufa. It keeps the child happy. It keeps him busy. It keeps him occupied. It's considered to be a kli. You're allowed to be metaltal. If it's a large domesticated animal which no one has any use for, it's just there for whatever it's there for. So then it's it's a kli, and it's now letzarach gufay or mukaymos. So the best you can do is push it around, but don't pick it up. But a small pet, he seems to say, would be mutter. That's one opinion. However, omnam, ayin, not everyone agrees. Ayin b'shulchan aruch hagoyin avshom zalmin te'afilu oif sheroy letzachek bo tinuk kishabaycha, even a bird which is used to calm down a child when he cries, also letaltelo ayin shemulufi zeh mashma degam oifos hamezamrim b'kol noe gam kein ein letaltelo sam. The same thing will be true when it comes to birds that sing, that chirp. You're not allowed to be metaltel them on Shabbos. He is machmir. V'ayin b'shulchan sam sefer shein letaltelo habal lechayin b'shabbos gam yishom mitzvah sashav saved and very chidish. The animals are muksa to such a degree, even if you want to do a mitzvah, you find someone's lost cat. Right? There are signs all over Flatbush about lost cats and lost dogs. And I saw a sign recently that says that the daughter is devastated. which says there, the lost cat shows a picture, and writes, daughter is devastated. Who's the daughter? The daughter of the cat. Or this person who put up this sign, her daughter, it was her pet. Is she devastated? So I wanted to call up. There's a number to call to ask. Whose daughter? Your daughter? Or the cat's daughter?
Was it Nafkamina la alone?
Nafkamina, Nafkamina.
If her name was cats, the same thing.
Whose daughter is devastated? So he has over here, she'en letaltel b'chayim b'shabbos, even if hashavas aveda, you're not allowed to letaltel an animal, oy shiluach hakein, you want to be mekayim a mitzvah, it's also muksa. V'yayim v'sefer yoshvayim v'sefer yoshia. Shekos have the middle title Lutzach Mitzvah, he disagrees. Lutzach Mitzvah, it's mutter. If it's doing a mitzvah to the animal itself, for example, Shloch Hakein or Shavas Aveda, the Chain Kos have Sefer Minchas Papitim, Ledivrei, I don't know who that stands for. Ledivrei, I don't know. Hoya Mokoyim Lahatir, Kevan Demekayim a mitzvah, Taketh Beshash Shiluach. Even kind of the mitzvah when you do shlich hakein, fuvu devarim beruchas chayim hachodesh. It's also brought down such a header to mimetalto. So the halacha lemaisa, it's machlekes apoyskim. Pets, small pet animals, machlekes apoyskim. The muksa namuksa. Some say yes, some say no. When it comes to a mitzvah, if you want to make shlich hakein, you want to return hashav saveda. It's also some machlekes apoyskim. Are you allowed to mimetalto little tzarich mitzvah?
If an animal is in distress, let's say an animal is stuck.
Tzar balichayim. So we learned. We learned. And then no, you have to der klachayah. That's what we learned last week. That from Tsar Balechayim, Chazal Wamatit to be metaltal an animal, Shloi Kederch. That was the case of the milking an animal. A nursing animal, it needs to release its milk, its bitsar. So you can do it kalachayat, but that's what it said. Because even milking now was a shalat of the daraisa. So when you combine all different heterim, we learned it's mutra, but it's total muksa. In a chanami kalachayat, you learn metaltal muksa. Okay, let's see one more halacha. Give a machal shu also beachilu mitu b'hana. Another example, food which is also beachilu mitu b'hana. For example, when basar mevushel, that meat cooked in milk. So meat cooked in milk is mutar b'hana, but it's also you give it to a guy. Basar mevushel, meat that's uchadoyim. I'm sorry. So they were non kosher. You cook on Shabbos, so this is asur. It's asur to eat, but it's mutar b'hana. Basar mevushel uchidayne. It's mutar b'hana asur b'achila. The yachal hu lidna le'ein yehudi shehu shaloi mutar l'tatlo. You're allowed to give it to a non-Jew shehu shaloi mutar l'tatlo. So this is not muksa.
What does that mean, shehu shaloi?
He owns it. Let's say the goy owns it. It's the goy's meat. The goy owns this meat. It's non kosher meat. It's not kosher meat. It's
mut.
That's halacha. He's supposed to give non kosher meat. Meat that's been cooked on Shabbos to a goy. You're not allowed to eat it yourself. Is that what he means?
Hold on. You're responsible.
Oh, it's your goy. You're responsible. He's your worker. Okay. Okay. Lo sechanim. V'yachal hu lidna le'en yehudi shu shaloi. And you can mutter l'taltlo. You are allowed to be mutaltlo. Food that is also b'achila, mutter b'hana, you can be mutaltlo on Shabbos. Avolim ene royal ene yehudi kemoshu kagoyin basar chai. Let's say it's raw meat. It's not fit for consumption. The gam leklav ene oimei kagoyin kagevan sheroyal ene yehudi. It's also not fit for dogs. The reason why it's not fit for dogs is because you're not going to waste a good piece of meat on a dog when you give it to a human being. Or you can't go give it to the guy because it's not yours to give. It's not. I don't own it. I don't have rights to give this to the guy. So
no, I don't think it means that.
Yeah. Not your guy.
It's not your guy.
It's not your guy. Or she'en yachol lidna le'en yehudi, she's not your guy. A ella shel acher also metaltel. So in this instance, indeed, it is also to be metaltel. Okay, let's see. One more hashem shalacha gimel basar chay raw meat. I'm going Avram shemachalek sham bein basar harach goin yoina basar amza the royal lachos. He differentiates between soft meat like yoina bird meat and geese, the royal lachos which is roy to chew mutal latatal av basar kasha, but hard meat goin basar behema shen royal lachos asal talpa. He differentiates between different types of raw meat. If the raw meat is fit b'shas adchak for chewing, it's mutter. If it's not fit for chewing, it's very hard. It's also b'chein kasav b'shuch lecha goin roshem zalnin v'ayim b'miskeres hashuch adyachshav shen noigim klal lecha basar chayav shadjosu kol basar chay latal b'shabes b'zman hazeh. We don't need raw meat at all, even soft raw meat, and therefore b'zman hazeh it's always going to be muksa. V'ayim b'mishne brura shehevi sham shem. Aha, okay. Ein chanami. So you have to know what today's situation is. You're right. V'ayim mishne brura shehevi sham shem kam achorim deloicha magen avram ra kol basa chai afilu basa behema nami mutter l'taltel the kol basa chazi l'oichel b'umsa. All raw meat to some degree is roy for consumption. Besides the b'shasat chak, yeshes moch b'shasat chak, you can be making, you can go and gachshu l'taltel raw meat. All raw meat b'zman hazeh to some degree is mutter. No, raw potatoes you don't eat.
Okay, not good for
okay, we'll take a